Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
It's tuna time. New is going to happen. It's going to happen quickly, and it has this past week. Things are really starting to blow up. This come next week, too. It's going to be going crazy all over. Bluefin, yellowfin, and big eye. The Spanish mackerel have showed up even, and also the little bonita, my kind of tuna, a little ultralight action with those little bad boys, and boy, are they good eating. Don't forget, sheep's head. That bite has started. Great article in the Fisherman magazine by my main man, Qua Nguyen, on there on the sheep's head around the pilings. Summer flounder, AK fluke, going crazy. Water got a little cold. Pick your spots, pick your areas. Still plenty of keepers out there. Speaking of the Fisherman magazine July issue, Hutch knocked it out of the park yet again with his editor log on page 3, Bluefin Existentialism. And don't forget his headline article. It will make you want, I don't know if you're going to want to get angry, you want to spit up or what, but just he really lays it bare here. Management mumbo-jumbo, fisheries reform, and sector separation. Hutch was on a couple of weeks ago talking about this. The article's in a July issue. Get it? Hey, man, we're really jammed. Ooh, coming up, we're talking sharks from the surf. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Coming up on the next edition of the Sports Bash with Mike Gill.
Hey, it's Mike Gill. Coming up on Monday's show, we'll look back at the Phillies weekend down in Atlanta against the Braves. We'll start to look ahead to Sixers free agency, plus all the Eagles news you need during football at 4. We got all that and more. It's all coming up on a great Monday show here on the Sports Bash.
The Sports Bash, weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN and the free mobile app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Final Saturday in June. Where is the time going? Like I said, daylight's getting a little bit shorter, a little bit shorter, a little bit shorter. Hey, man, one day closer to hunting season. Don't get me wrong, still love my fishing, but, you know, that's the dealer. But, hey, talk about fishing right now. You know, there's another thing, too. Come in the studio, and there is a brand new edition of Fishing Tackle Retail, the iCast. The iCast. Now, I'm going to cover the new Daiwa Ballistics and attach a LaRaz. It looks pretty good. The International Fishing Tackle Convention, it's about 20 of them. Working it for, you know, for what advertising was great. Well, do I miss it? No. Because you get all the stuff at the distributor shows. Anyway, but it was a great time. It's going to be our second annual Sharking from the Beach show. Surf sharking, big game fishing with the sand under your toes. Join us on the line, very special guest from last year, Jordan Yukevich. He is works part-time. We see him at Creekside Outfitters up there on Route 9 in Waretown. One of the young guns. Good blood in there, man. Very knowledgeable. Tuna sharks. A big game from the beach. Okay, we get the black drum. I understand that. But sharking, an entirely different game. Now, I got familiar with that from, shout out to Nicky Honoshevsky, the Jersey boy made good with. I don't know what channels he's on, Discovery, whatever. He started back, I remember, the mid to late 90s, sharking from the beach up there in Point Pleasant. It's since grown, can't say exponentially, but more and more people are doing it now. First off, right off the bat, it's incumbent upon you, the angler who wants to pursue sharks from the beach, to make sure the municipality of which you're fishing or with the state, Island Beach State Park, whatever, certain times, are there any restrictions, times or locations? It's incumbent upon you that otherwise you don't want to have any mix-ups. Some towns, like, what was it, a couple years ago, Sea Isle, made it illegal to fish between such and such an area, such and such a time. So that's out of the way. The announcement was made, and here we go. Joining us online right now is Jordan Yukevich. How you doing, little brother?
What's up, Tom Pig?
Man, what's up? What's up? I'm talking sharks with one of the studs in the business, man. Jordan's from the surf. You guys described this to me. I've watched it done. It is, man, it'll raise the hair on every hair on your body, man, when these things hit and go. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's kind of eerie when you're sitting out there at nighttime and the moon's kind of reflecting off the water and you're just waiting for the rod to go off. It's exciting.
Yeah, people, we're not talking, you know, dusk or a little bit after. You crazy. Sir, they're out there like 11 till 1, 2 in the morning, whatever. Jordan, it's a whole thing now. Sharks do come in close, I guess, man. That was pretty surprising to me when I first saw this back in the mid-90s. I mean, you got some big fish in the suds pretty much. Well, not in the Suns, but you know, like out a little bit. And it's a pretty exciting game. You know what's going to hit? I'm telling you, people, if the Shubier Betty mommies knew what was in the surf towards it, they would never let their kids go in the water. But Jordan, on a more serious note here, big fish, nighttime, stout tackle, big baits, the whole logistics on planning a trip like this. I mean, you have a kayak or a paddle. You bring the baits out. Go into the whole scenario, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, the most important part is having the right gear. You want to make sure that, obviously, the rod and reel is important, but in my opinion, the most important part is having the gear for releasing the shark. So that means having a de-hooker, having big bolt cutters, so if you can't get the hook out, you could cut the hook and get the most important thing is getting the fish back in the water safely. So that,
exactly right.
Having that kind of gear is the most important part.
Now, Jordan, again, predicated on the size of the animal that's coming in, I mean, handling it in the suds, are you in the water with it? I understand you can't bring it out on the beach. We'll get to that in a little bit, but your tackle now, right? You're talking conventional, you're talking big spinning, you're talking what, 100-pound braid, 80-pound braid, size 20 circle hooks. What's the dealio?
So I use all conventional gear now. You could definitely go with some big spinning gear. You don't really need anything super, super heavy for New Jersey sharking. You're not going to be hooking giant hammerheads or tiger sharks like you are down in the south. But most of the sharks we're getting up here are going to be sand tigers, browns, some duskies, some fish that kind of fight hard off the rip, and then you just kind of drag them in. So my setup is I use an Avid EX30. I have it spooled up with a 60-pound hollow core, and then I have a little top shot of 80-pound mono. I just use it as a chunk and reel for tuna as well, but it's also my beach sharking setup.
Well, Jordan, let me interrupt you a second. You're very listen, this kid, these guys, they're not kids. They're these guys. Well, you're very specific. I noticed that on your lines for your hollow core, you use what, the Cortland brand?
Yes, sir. Cortland C16. It's my favorite hollow core. I use it on anything that I'm using. I use their master braid for everything, and I use their hollow core for everything. So
okay, so is that a pass muster? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue, bro.
So as far as like the rig, I usually fish 20-ish feet of really, really heavy mono. You don't really have to worry about pulling the mono through the guides because you're fishing on the beach. You have plenty of space to fish a long leader. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the chafe leader, you want to have roughly double the amount and length of the leader as the sharks you're catching. So I always like to go a little longer. So 20 feet is good. Usually use like 300 to 400 pound mono.
Mm-hmm.
400 is a little safer. Definitely can fish 300 and not have any issues. And then it kind of depends with the bite leader. Sometimes I go with a single strand, steel wire. And then some other times I do the, cable. It just kind of depends. Most of the time I have everything all rigged up and ready to go in like little gallon bags.
Right.
But the single strand wire is definitely real easy. You could haywire twist it while you're at the beach. So if you don't have everything prepared, you don't want to buy crimps, sleeves, all that stuff. The single strand wire is really easy to learn, and it doesn't require much.
Okay,
you don't have to buy a lot of extra stuff for it.
The business, and now that you're sticking in the meat, what are you loading with, man? What is that metal? Your
what
hooks.
Do you mean?
Your hooks.
Oh, my hooks.
I'm a writer, Jerry. Give me a break. Hooks, your brand and size.
I stick with Mustad. Mustad makes some pretty good hooks. I use the 3X, the Demon Perfect Circles.
Mm-hmm.
The hook kind of depends on the size of the bait and where I'm fishing. If I'm fishing the beach, usually, you know, I'll go with the like 16-0. Sometimes if you're fishing just like real small piece of bunker, you can go down to a 12-0.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bait dependent. Sometimes if you're fishing really, really big baits, I will bridle the bait so the hook's fully exposed. It's not very hard. You just poke. a little, like, rig a needle through the bait, pull a little bit of braid through, and then you're just wrapping around the hook and spinning around a bunch, and the hook's just fully exposed.
Okay, Jordan's on the line this morning. Is Jordan Yukavich. Creekside Alpha is one of the young gun sharkers up and down the Jersey beaches. Now, Jordan, you said predicated on the size of the bait you're using. When are you going to use a smaller bait or a bigger bait? Is that like we're going after some big sand tigers or this or that? Or is it the area you're fishing, the depth? What makes you go from a big bait to a medium-sized bait to, again, a bait, like you said, you have to bridle the hook? What's the deal?
So it's mostly the location. Most of the time in the surf, I'm using some bigger bait. The sand tigers that you're kind of catching, they're all kind of hanging out on the bottom. They're picking up rays and skate and fluke and all those kind of like fish on the bottom. But in the bay, you could use eels. Eels work really, really well in the bay. So if you're using eels, you don't want to be using a 20-0 circle hook. That doesn't make any sense. What if it's
a big eel? No, I'm only kidding. Well, Jordan, again, another thing too, listen, this is what I found fascinating. You're not casting these baits. Jordan, getting the baits out there, and I want to ask you too about, go ahead, and drones, are they, I don't know if you know, are they legal to, and some states they're not, are you legal to get that bait out there via a drone, or are you doing like you do, this guy is crazy, out there, sometimes at night it's cold, he's out there in his kayak paddling those baits all the way out. How do you get it out there, man?
Yeah, so I do the kayak. It's honestly
better you than me.
it's a little scary at first. It's but once you just have to have a good crew that can really pay attention to getting you past the breakers. Because once you get past the breakers, it's flat. It's actually really cool. And mm-hmm. what I've learned from doing it over and over and over again is actually having my headlight off when I'm kayaking out is actually able. It makes it easier for me to see.
Okay.
Because if you have your headlight on, it's just reflecting from the salt in the air, so you can't see more than 5 feet in front of you.
Oof.
But if you turn it off, you can actually see some of the swell, and you could kind of. It's easier for you to maneuver out there.
How far are you talking off the sand?
It kind of depends. I usually try to stagger my baits. I'll have a rod that's, you know, maybe 100 yards out, and then I'll do one 150 and then 200. You don't really need to go super, super far.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the area you're fishing, how deep the water is, where the bar is located.
Okay.
The tide. It depends every night.
Oh, Jordan, is the take of a sand tiger, take of a dusky, take of a brown, whatever, pretty much the same? And do they fight differently? I understand some go run parallel to the beach, others head out. What's it like?
Yeah, so most of the sharks that we're catching are sand tigers. They typically run straight out, and they'll do a couple pretty hard runs, you know, two or three runs. And then after that, they're kind of done. And then once you get them to the bar, they kind of fight a little bit because they don't want to get pulled over the bar. And then once you get them past the first bar,
mm-hmm.
it's just getting them in like waist deep water, you know, maybe a little shallower, trying to get the hook out and then send them back on their way. It just requires a good group of guys that you're
right.
able to communicate with. So
team
no
effort.
One gets hurt.
Right. Jordan, yeah. Again, choosing the bait, I mean, is bunker, I guess, because I know those Omega ships were off here. Dave Showell, I'm going to talk to you about that, Captain Dave, a little later on that. But, Jordan, a bunker is a universal bait, but I've seen guys use mackerel. Some guys use skate wings. Is bunker pretty much your choice? Is it one of those, like using worms for catfish or something? Is that just like a universal bait?
Bunker always works really, really well. I mean, there's always tons of it around, but my personal favorite bait for sharking is bluefish, especially fresh. Fresh bluefish just works. It works the best. So I like to make it. It's something sharking from the beach. It's something I like to do with my friends who don't really fish a lot because they really enjoy it. I think it's really cool. So I kind of make a whole day out of it. We'll go to the inlet, catch some bluefish, and then we'll take it down. to the south part of LBI and catch some sharks with the bluefish.
I'd be done after catching a bluefish, people. Jeez. Jordan, now the take again, the fight, whatever. Getting these fish again in safely, and I spoke to him. I had him on the show a couple times. I think he retired. He wrote the shark guide. He would come up here to Holiday Inn and give seminars to the commercial fishermen because the Duskies and the Browns, whatever. It's a lot of confusion. No one messed up on that one. But he explained during the hero shots, the guys sticking their fingers in their nose and holding up to show, you know, the dentition of the sand tigers, which is pretty impressive. It's actually harming the shark. Your take on that? I mean, you got the fish in, get a quick photo of broadsword to turn it out. What's happening at the end game?
Yeah, so it's obviously nice to get a couple pictures. So, but I, you know, for people who have never caught them before, I like to have someone just recording a video and you can take still shots out of the video.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I always try to keep the shark in the water and ideally you like to get the hook out. That's you don't want it swimming around with tackle in its mouth. So what I do to make that a little easier, I actually crush the barb with the hook.
Good man.
It's a little easier to pull it out of the fish's mouth. You know, but for whatever reason, if you can't get it out and the fish is kind of, you know, it's not really, it's taking a little longer. You could always, I have all my gear to get the shark back in the water in a bucket. I have someone go grab the bolt cutters. We bring in the water, cut the hook, and send the fish back on its way.
And away they go. Okay, we're speaking with Jordan Yukevich, Creekside Outfitters. He is a shark from the beach, aficionado, I would say, and likes to share the knowledge. Jordan, thanks for coming on. One thing I have to ask you, Yukevich, before you leave, has there ever been an occasion you get a hit, it goes, and you say, what the bleep is that? You know, that you can't control and gets that. Ever have a scenario like that?
Yeah, it usually happens with a giant stingray. You can't move it. It just sits on the bottom.
Okay, man. Jordan, thanks, Jordan. This is our second annual Shark from the Beach. Hope to make it at my age. Who knows how long that's going to take. Well, Jordan, thanks for joining us. This is Sharking from the Beach. Want any information, give them a call at Creekside sometime or stop and they have all the stuff there. Not a shameless plug. This is business is business. But, Jordan, I've noticed, again, a few, not a lot, but a few more people doing it, a few more people talking about it. Have you noticed an upsurge in beach sharking in your travels up and down the shore?
Yeah, honestly, I have. I think it has a lot to do with there's a couple guys on social media that have a really good media presence that are doing it. And I think they're doing it the right way. And you know, it's something that's cool for, you know, LBI is a very touristy town. So it's cool for people who come down who are tourists and want to try some kind of new type of fishing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I've definitely seen a lot more people on the beach doing it. There's a lot more people coming into the shop that are asking about it, getting the gear for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty cool, but that also comes, you know, you need to be prepared when you get out there. The number one, the most important thing is making sure the fish lives and you get it safely back into the water.
And there you go. And listen, it's a team effort. I'm going to sandbag you, Jordan. One more question. You know, you go when you can, people. I get that. Are there prime night conditions that you, okay, guys, this is it, man. Let's go kick some shark ass where the conditions are just right. And what are they? Incoming, outgoing, heavy rollers, no rollers. What's the deal?
I like to fish when it's flat so I don't have to get wrecked going out in the kayak.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it mostly has to do with the water temperature. If the water's too cold, the fish aren't going to want to eat.
Okay.
I mean, and you know, if the tide's coming in and you're casting, that's going to be a little more ideal. But if you're kayaking baits out, it doesn't really matter as much because you can get the bait into the deeper water, which where those sharks are going to be. That's the benefit of kayaking baits is you can put the bait in the perfect spot. Whereas casting, you need to be paying attention to the tide, the wind, all that stuff.
Yep.
You get a southeast wind, you know, that bait's coming back on the beach. And
there you go. And that ain't happening. Well, Jordan, thanks for joining us. Second annual, man. Honored to have you on. One of the young guns, people. Check it out. And Sharking from the Beach. Again, one last time. check with your municipality or whatever you're going to be fishing. Just make sure you're fishing in the right area at the right times, because, you know, swimmers, I mean, people get their ass in the air. You're swimming out baits and you're only 50 yards down from a swimming area. So that's not happening. Just make sure you know where and when. Jordan, thanks for joining us. Hope to see you soon, little brother. You take care.
All right. Have a good one, Tom
T. See you, man. Sharker from the beach, bro. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday morning, the Locker Room with Billy Schwein will be broadcasted live from Connor Barwin's Make the World Better Pickleball Tournament in Seattle City. Join me, former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Dave Klemek, Mr. Negadelphia PJ Korda, and Josh Henning. Hour 2, it's the Beach Patrol Report, brought to you by McCann Realtors and the OCBP Lifeguard Alumni Association. Former chief of the Seattle City Beach Patrol, Tom McCann, joins me to talk about his new book. Then we'll hear from the captain of the Ventnor City Beach Patrol, David Funk. It's the Locker Room with Billy Schwein, Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Well, listen, very important. Five or six or whatever bills are pending in the Senate, got out of committee or whatever. Seriously, anti-gun bills targeting, it seems, law-abiding citizens. I don't know any gangbangers who obey any of these laws or any criminals. S3894, S3895, S3896, S3706, S3900, this is the scary one, listeners. Again, they're out of committee. It allows imprisonment before trial for an unlimited amount of time when someone is merely accused of a firearms offense. You hear what I said? Merely accused of a firearm offense. If someone is just accused of a gun crime, the government gets to lock them up and throw away the key while they await trial. Are you kidding me? All right, who are these Democrat senators introducing? Anyway, very, very special guest on the line right now, Republican State Senator Parker Space, 24th District up there in Sussex County, staunch, staunch supporter of firearms owners and hunters in the great Garden State. Senator Parker, thanks for coming on short notice. I got a list of these bills. I went through the friggin' ceiling. What is happening down there under that gold dome, Senator?
It's horrible. The infringements, you know, they trying to take away our rights, you know, from the, as you said, the law-abiding citizen here in the state of New Jersey. And one of the issues is they coddle the criminal and prosecute the law-abiding person. And it doesn't take too long. You know, you look what happened in the last election with President Trump. People are tired of the crap that they're pushing out of Trenton. I'm tired of it. And it's time for everybody to stand up. This year, you know, in November, we have a chance of flipping the lower house, the assembly, which would make a huge difference. Unfortunately, right now, when you have the governor, Democrat Murphy, you have both houses controlled by the Democrats. They just push this garbage right down the pipeline and right out to affect the public.
Yeah, listen, you can still contact your senator. Go to New Jersey Legislative webpage on there. Google it, and you'll be able to contact your legislator. S1558 makes it a first-degree crime up to 20 years in prison to transport, ship, or even dispose of a firearm without a serial number. There is no exception. This is, again, this is the thing. There's no exception for previously owned historical firearms that were lawfully manufactured and lawfully acquired without a serial number. It's before 1968, correct? I mean, this is another one. And here you go. It's an antique firearm. I had it. You're going to jail, bro.
And unfortunately, you know, like our museum complex, we have multiple firearms like that. And it's like you said, everything's a knee-jerk reaction. They get a little bit of push, you know, from these liberals, you know, the moms for, you know, against guns and all the different little groups. And right away, they have to try to enact another bill. These idiots have been trying to, you know, every year they want to put a bill in to ban machine guns. It's like, I think that's been like the 1920s.
Yeah,
they haven't been able to have machine guns.
That's one of these lists of these bills, Senator. So, Senator Space mentioned a museum. It's the Space Farms Museum up there on Route 519 in Beamerville in Sussex County. Absolutely mind-boggling place. Part of the young lady there says, how long are you going to stay here? I think I was running around that place for, what, 3, 4, or 5 hours?
You can spend some time, that's for sure.
Senator Parker, another one. S3894. Listen, this is another scary one. Creates a crime for possession of digital instructions to illegally manufacture firearms or firearms components. It creates a crime even if someone never actually produces a gun or component. Simply having a digital file for a component on your computer will result in presumption that you intended to illegally manufacture it and will turn innocent gun owners into criminals. I think of the book 1984 with George Orwell. People, if you haven't read it, read it. I mean, Parker, I mean, they are in on this.
Yeah, it's like, you know, once again, you know, they want to prove, you know, make you guilty, and then you have to prove yourself innocent. That's not the way our country's set up. Mm-hmm. They take things totally out of perspective on it. And one thing they don't realize, too, is, like, you know, I keep in contact with the state PBA and the FOP right. and the bigger, you know, the police agencies. And right now there's over 75,000 legally carrying, you know, including right. myself. People, I just requalified last week. I got a set coming up on my 2-year mark. I have to send in my, you know, my reapplication again for the concealed carry. There's not one instance that they can come up with a law-abiding citizen that has committed any type of a criminal act that went through this whole course. And once again, it goes back, you know, let's arrest the criminals, throw them in jail, and throw away the key.
And hence there is Senate Bill, again, out of committee, S-3895, establishes the crime of reckless discharge. Discharging a firearm in New Jersey is already illegal unless done for a lawful purpose, which is an affirmative defense. This is nothing more than a swipe at concealed carry. Now, every time a firearm is used, even in legitimate self-defense situations, prosecutors will have more tools to harass law-abiding gun owners. And what about the criminals who discharge the guns? Oh, cash is bail. They're out. Parker, it's making me sick.
Oh, yeah. Now, you see it on the news, you know, these gangbangers and these, you know, punks. And, you know, they basically go, you know, untouched, whatever they want to do. But mm-hmm. once again, they got to keep an eye on the people that follow the law. I mean, look at out west, you know, the different cities. And you see, unfortunately now, you know, with the possible mayoral election in New York City, you know, you're going to see people going out in droves.
Yep.
I mean, with a socialist, you know, commie moving in there.
And he wants to he wants to ban all guns and defund the police.
And that's the biggest thing. You know, we fight for on the Republican side, you know, let the cops put the handcuffs on the criminals, take the handcuffs off the police. Because right now, you know, that's what government, you know, seems to want to do in Trenton. And that's why it's so important is to get Jack Turrelli in. You know, if we get Mikey Sherrill in there, it's going to be like Murphy times two or three. It's going to be horrible.
Yeah, speaking of X-Men, somebody said Murphy cubed, like to the third power. But Parker, these state senators and the assembly that, again, primarily, I'd say almost all Democrats are in on this. What is their, are they showing that, look at what we're trying to do. We're trying to make you safe. Is that the feel good thing?
Well, there's two types of philosophy. They call it gun safety bills. You know, my gun safety is carrying my Glock 9mm in my pocket. That's my gun safety, you know, to protect myself. Mm-hmm. They have a different perspective on what they think it is.
Parker, and what you're speaking with Assembly in Parker Space, Republican, 24th District up there in Sussex, staunch supporter of Second Amendment and the hunting rights and trapping rights, fishing rights in New Jersey. I'm thinking Parker for governor. No, I know. Never mind. But with the chance of Jack getting in, he was a guest on Rock and Finn a couple of weeks ago, Jack getting in, chance of flipping more seats, Senator, what are you seeing? What's the matter of the chatter on the streets?
I mean, there, you know, there's a few districts, you know, assembly wise, obviously the Senate's not up this year, but the assembly is, and, you know, the governor is. And, you know, if we can get the thing is, we have to get the people motivated. Like Sussex County, you know, we're a stronghold for Republican votes, Ocean County, you know, different parts of the southern part of the state. We have to get our people motivated. You can't take anything for granted. We have to get out. We have to make sure we go to that ballot and punch, you know, in for our Republican assembly candidates, wherever you might be in whatever district, and Jack for governor. Like you said, if you sit home, Mikey Sherrill is going to be in there. You might as well just take your guns right to the, you know, to the state house and say, here, you guys, win. You know, we need good, strong Republican leadership that stands up for our Constitution, our Second Amendment rights.
Now, Senator, you were in the assembly for years, and it just seems that the anti-gun, anti-legal firearms owners, The scream from the left side of the aisle is becoming more and more shrill, it seems, by the year, if not sooner. What is up with that? I mean, you get to sit in committees with them, you talk. I mean, you guys go out for lunch together. What's the deal?
I mean, a lot of them, you know, they live, you know, they have drivers. They're, you know, always covered by police and whatnot. I don't know if they feel they have their own protection. You know, I live up here in the country. We have state police. They're awesome. You know, I couldn't ask for a better police department.
Good guys up there. Good crews up there.
And they are. Yeah. And, you know, we, you know, I'm a volunteer fireman. You know, basically where I live, you know, we fight our own fires. We protect ourselves, you know, so they don't have the same element. And the problem is they try to paint. It doesn't matter if it's with COA housing, if it's with firearms, whatever it might be. They want to paint the entire state with a broad brush. Everything's the same. Well, let me tell you, pal, it's not the same. We're different up here than mm-hmm. you are down in Camden County or Hudson County. And, you know, we're, we might be more alike in Atlantic County or Ocean County.
Well, Senator, what's the best way for a constituent or just a concerned citizen to contact their legislator? An email, a handwritten note? Do petitions mean anything? Or what about a call into the office? What do the politicians, such as yourself, pay attention to when hearing from the constituents?
My phone goes with my legislative email nonstop all day long on these gun bills. And it's like, hey, guys, I'm with you, you know. Direct your energy towards the antis, but no, I'm glad to get them. Definitely email. I would look up the Senate on Public right. Safety, you know, with obviously it's already went through there, but, you know, hit those people that are on it. And yeah, send it to all your legislators. You have the legislative New Jersey legislative website. You can find out where, you know, who your local Senate and Assembly people are. And, you know, and also call the office. Like you said, the more, you know, you hit it, you know, the more likely the people, you know, the representatives are going to see this and say, hey, you know, maybe I should think twice. But yeah, unfortunately, well, they don't always think twice.
Okay. State Senator Parker Space, Republican, 24th District up there in Sussex County. Thanks for joining us. Short notice, very short notice on Rakuten Radio today. Senator, by the way, did you get that dome of heat way up Sussex that we had down here?
Oh, yeah. No, it was good and warm. I was out baling hay those 2 days.
I used to do that. Are you crazy? It was 100 degrees up there, man.
I was going to jump in the car and head to Florida where it was a bit cooler.
Dude, up there, I was on, in fact, I was on 513 or 519. I had asked him that question. It was that hot up there. I saw a dog chasing a cat, and they were both walking. Honest to God, it was that hot. Yeah. Parker, best of the family. Warm. Take care. God spare us. See you soon sometime this summer.
All right, you got it, man.
And thanks for fighting. Thanks for fighting for us. Greatly appreciate it.
All right.
See you,
man. Take care.
Parker Space, what a guy. What a legislator, and just sits down, and you're not, he's a real, real, real guy. Just a real salt of the earth. Okay, people, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Oh, man, how many fluke tournaments are there? Whew, it is jamming.
Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman.
If a person is on a date, is it proper protocol that if one person gets their food first, they have to wait for the other person?
Yes.
I tend
because
to agree.
Because if you're on a date, you're trying to make a good impression. You don't want it to be that you're selfish and you're not considerate of the other person. Because
okay.
That's what you're doing if you eat before their food gets there.
Wake up weekday mornings with Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman on 97.3 ESPN. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Final Saturday in June. These flounder tournaments are just coming up like dandelions in May. Whoa, how many are there? All for good cause, a lot of fun fishing, whatever. But there is a monster one coming up. It's a third annual. The third annual Doormat Derby. Personally, I catch area rugs. Doormats are all right. They're throwbacks to me. I'm an area rug kind of guy. It's going to be a one-day summer flounder tournament presented by Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. The great show. That's going to be, I think, January 10th, 11th, 12th. Next year, I will be there, sponsored by Cape May Outboard and hosted by Off the Hook Marina. Now, it's 2 weeks out. Make your plans now. You get Tom P, when you only give a week notice, we already did this. That's why whenever I have important tournaments like this or events, you always give a 2 week notice. And joining us on the line right now, as a guest a couple of weeks ago, is Kate May Fluking. By the way, one guy said, would you have him on for me and give it away to a seat? The guy was pissed. Too bad. Fluking a cape. Too bad. It's too good. Is Gerald Vessels, owner promoter, Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. And he is a big time, I guess he's running this third annual Doormat Derby. Mr. Vessels, you're getting to be a regular on here, man. We have to stop meeting like this.
Oh, man. It is all my pleasure, though, Tommy P. Every time you have me on, I am so grateful for everything that you do for me and extending warm and welcome you and lovely Dee Marie outstanding people.
Well, thanks, sir. Thank you. I paid him to say that. I bought a bow for the tournament. Well, Jared, this tournament, and it's growing, and you got some nice cash payouts here, bro. Go into the guts of the tournament.
All right, nuts and bolts of the tournament. It's a $400 entry fee, and then we have $400 in Calcutta, so it's like $800 total to fish for the day. You at the end of the day, you have a live band, you have food, we have awesome door prizes up to and including stuff valued at over $400. So that's great. We have $6,000 in guaranteed prizes for the tournament.
Whoa.
So
$6,000 in prizes.
Nice payday.
Guaranteed. It's guaranteed. I'm holding them to that because I'm the area rug man. The guarantee. That's great. Whoa.
Right. And I mean, it's part of, you have to, you know, you have to give back to have a good tournament. That's all. And we do a great job. We have a good setup right on the water and off the hook. You can come in by boat or by car. We have tents set up for weather. It's just a nice family type of environment. And we put out a good product, and hopefully it continues to grow, which it's grown over the last 2 years. And fingers are crossed that, you know, we're blessed with Mother Nature, giving us a good day, and we're going to have a great tournament.
Well, Jared, how many anglers allowed per boat?
You're allowed 6 people per boat. Actually, you can have 7 people per boat. You can have as many people as you want on the boat.
Okay.
It's only 5 lines in the water at one time.
There you go.
That's the big catch. Like some, you know, you have a bigger boat, you can get 6-8 guys on there easily, but it's 5 lines in the water at one time. And then as part of your package, you get 5 dinner guest tickets for the after party as your entry. You know, and additional tickets are available for purchase, but it's 5 lines in the water at one time.
Jerry, let's see now. When's the captain's meeting, bro? I don't see that in the press release. Captain's meeting, Jerry.
It's on air. It's Friday at 7 p.m. out off the hook.
I don't see it. Well, I'm looking at the Fisherman Caller event, so I didn't get the actual press release. I didn't read it. Yeah, okay. That's Tom P. Okay, again, Jerry, on a serious note, when is the captain meeting? What time and location, please?
Captain's meeting is Friday, July 12th, Friday, July 11th.
I got him.
Got him. It's Friday, July 11th at 7 p.m. at Off the Hook, right at the marina. You're able to register. The store will be open for any last-minute stuff that you may need.
Mm-hmm.
The store opens again at 5 a.m. on Saturday for registration, for ice, for bait, for anything that you may need again. So, but again, captain's meeting is Friday, July 11th at 7 p.m. at Off the Hook.
Okay, Jerry, weigh-in times. And listen, these tournaments, and I really appreciate this because I've seen some nightmarish scenarios. When they say, for example, 1 p.m. sharp, 2 p.m. sharp, to be on the ground, you have no exceptions. Oh, one of the guys had a heart attack. No, that doesn't count. No. Jerry, when do you have to be on site for the weigh-in? No ifs, ands, or buts.
No ifs, ands, or buts is correct, and I'm the final judge on everything. So you're talking to the man who takes all the credit or all the blame for this. So I am weigh-in opens at 3 p.m. and it closes promptly at 5 p.m. Now, if there happens to be a line, or because you can check in by boat,
right?
And at boat, sometimes it gets a little backed up. You simply say, "Hey, you know, we have representatives down on the dock.
Good.
Hey,
good.
I'm here. It's before 5 p.m. I'm boat number 31. You're clocked in.
Okay.
You're registered. You will be allowed to weigh in. You come down the creek at 5:05, not happening."
Yeah, that's fair enough. Listen, you know, again, he put it out there. They have all the bases covered in this. Jerry, and just as an aside, not an aside, I guess it's in a fluking down here has really picked up, man. I'm down here. You got some good flatty action going on, man.
Fluking has been fluking-tastic, Tommy.
Yep.
It's like really, really good right now, and I'm
in two. It's only going to get better, I think, Jerry. Because I mean, everything's a lot of baits moving in, fish are moving in, the wrecks, And what I'm finding surprising, you know, with the sea bass, if you hit a wreck, you get 30 fish, they're back there the next day. Fluke, or they don't fill the vacuum that quickly. But, Jerry, I'm seeing spots that are producing, like, every other day. There's plenty of flatties out there. And keepers, too. Keepers as well, you know.
Yeah, the amount of bites that we're getting at the local reefs is really right where you want it to be. I mean, sure, sometimes the keeper ratio, depending on which day of the week it is, but at the same time you're going out and you're getting 20, 30, 40 bites in a day, you know, you're catching fish and you're getting keepers. We had one the other day that, you know, we always laugh about it and say, yeah, that was a good one, 7.35 pounds. And you're like, oh, if that was 2 weeks from now. But,
yeah,
you know, it's always the case. And even as you were talking about bait in the water and everything else, our local inshore trolling grounds are producing Spanish mackerel.
Yep.
My buddy actually caught a red drum the other day. It was 36 inches. He was out trolling for bonita, which bonita are here already.
Oh, man, I'm loving those little – that to me, people, that's tuna fishing. I mean, we have freshwater our trout tackle, 4 pound, a little swivel and a little chunk of spearing. That's tuna fishing. Not this troll out there.
Yeah,
tuna fishing.
I haven't heard of bonita or Spanish mackerel or anything like that before 4th of July.
It was always 4th of July. Seemed that is when they would show. That's historic. Now, hey, they're here, man. More power to them.
Yeah,
bring that global warming. Let's go.
It is. This is shaping up the first month. If we're going by this, it's shaping up to be a banner summer. So,
okay, join us on the line, listeners. It's Jerry Vessels. He is Wildwood Fishing. January can't get here soon enough, Vessel. I can't wait for that show.
Come on.
It's July 12th, the third annual Doormat Derby, a summer flounder tournament presented by Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. The main man, Jerry Vessels, is on the line with us right now, sponsored by Cape May Outboard and hosted by Off the Hook Marina. Now, Jerry, for more details, where can people go for some more information?
More information. There's three ways you can get more info. One is on Facebook, The Doormat Derby. Look us up, Off the Hook Marina. You can call me, 609-377-1617. Call or text. I can send you a registration form right via text message or a sponsorship form. And also by email, and the email is thedoormatderbynj@gmail.com.
One more time with that, Jerry.
thedoormatderbynj@gmail.com for email.
Jerry, one thing before I let you go, I've been involved in some, you know, we're on some tournaments doing the PR and whatever. It's a lot. Well, it's not like doing the expo, don't get me wrong, but it's a lot of freaking work and dotting the I's, crossing the T's, making sure everything doesn't go below the line. It's hats off to you, man. That's a lot of work.
This is where it gets crunch time, like in that 2 week window where everything has to fall into place and you have, you know, you think you have all your ducks in a row until you don't. And,
yep.
You know, you find out very quickly, but this is our third year and I have the experience from the expo of dealing with hiccups or, you know, potholes that may come up and you say, okay, we can, you know, avert this, do that, abort this.
Can he say that word? Oh, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, I thought I was getting in trouble. I was going to say, I've cleaned up my language because of the radio.
Oh, Jared, question. One last thing before I let you go. Again, because there was another tournament that had no parking for trailers on premise. Will there be, guys have boats on the trails, will there be plenty of parking available?
There is plenty of parking available. The marina is located right on Ocean Drive. It's next to Lund's Fisheries.
Well, I know exactly. Yeah, that was where it is. Yep.
And in partnership with Lund's, we're available to use some of their parking. They have a parking on both sides of our facility, and we have a deal with them that you're allowed to park on their property. So
great. Great.
Basically unlimited parking, you know, so that's another big, again, just a big draw. Parking is there. Accessibility is there. If you're coming by car to weigh in, remember bridges go up. So plan accordingly.
You ain't lying.
If you're coming by boat.
Good. Glad you mentioned that, Vessels.
Make sure you find somebody from the tournament and wave your hand. Say, hey, I'm here to get to get there before 5 p.m. That's all.
Okay, Jerry, hold on. Jerry, hold on a second. I hold. Someone's on the door. Hold on. Yeah, what do you have? Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Ask him about the food.
Yeah, what's that? Yeah, it was handed to me, Jerry. What about the food? What do you got?
About the food. Well, once again, we have Gem Market from South Seaville that's going to be our caterer. They do an outstanding job. We're going to have the pulled pork, some hamburgers, hot dogs, your basics, your baked beans, all the good fixings, and a meal that when you're done fishing, you don't want a hoagie because, let's face it, you ate a hoagie or my personal favorite, cold fried chicken for the last 8 hours on the boat. You want to come down and get a nice, healthy, hearty meal, and we're there to serve it up for you, nice and hot, fresh from Gem Market, and they do a great job.
They do, I've been to a few of their events where they were catering. Yeah.
Our good friends at Wanderback, local beverage company, brewing company, they will be part of our sponsors, giving out some beers there as well. It's a good time, Tom.
Listen,
will be in the mail.
Vessel, you mentioned the subs here, hoagies, whatever. Nah, when I'm fishing, it is. Shout out to the long deceased great guy Vic Dunaway. I'm a Vienna sausage man. Oh yeah, I have my half a dozen cans of mixed Vienna sausage. No
chicken Vienna sausage over there. Not at any rate.
I got my Vienna sausage. I even got the hot ones with the habanero. Jerry, come on.
Get my bait in that juice, Tom. I won't need it.
Jerry, you take care. One more time with a phone number and website, please, or email, whatever, for info.
It is Facebook. We are The Doormat Derby, and check us out. Also, phone number 609-377-1617. You can call or text me, and the email address is thedoormatderbynj@gmail.com.
Oh, you hotshot flounder guys and gals out there, and I say that in a good way, mark that on your calendar. See what you got, $6,000 in guaranteed prize. You got cash, you got Calcuttas. It's going to be a great deal. And the food, baby, you can't miss that. Jerry, you take care. Best of the family. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Tommy.
Oh, by the way, is your youngest, is she running for office yet?
Not yet, but she is.
I'm sure she turns
18.
I'm sure she applied to three or four law schools by now.
She is. She says she's horns up, baby. She wants to go to Texas A&M. I don't know who's going to pay for it. Maybe Uncle Tommy will pay for it.
Oh, I'm a Longhorn man, not an Aggies. See you later, brother.
See you, buddy. Thank you, Tommy.
That's going to be a fun event. Be right back. Close it out. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, that was the final Saturday in June with me, Tom P. Rack and Fin Radio. Get out and enjoy, be it on the bay, be it in the surf, be it back in the woods, on the lake, in the pond, whatever. A lot of stuff is happening. Just be out there, outside. God bless America. God bless the troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Have a safe week, enjoyable week. See you next Saturday, Rack and Fin Radio.